Welcome to Fate Moon Archive, the best and only podcast about waiting through 20 years of Type Moon. I'm your host, Fen. My pronouns are Feyfair, and joining me is...
I'm your co-host, Ben Enns. My pronouns are she, they.
Today, we're covering the manga all around Type Moon. But first, we have a VN and two light novels to cover. It is Yuri Tea Time.
Two volumes of one light novel.
Yeah.
And it's not technically a light novel. It's not marketed as light novel. It's a science fiction novel.
Yeah.
It does have illustrations, though.
Yeah. Yes, an omnibus containing two volumes of Urasekai Picnic.
I'm gonna go over the desk at you. I can't believe you actually did this. Other Side Picnic.
Anyway, first,
we can't make every joke we make indecipherable by adding on in jokes from our Discord.
I mean, like, yes, you're correct that we do make this show for an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now that we have a Patreon.
We're a Patreon ready podcast.
I guess we should have said, I should say that in the intro. You can find us at Crying Rules, actually.
We made it.
Patreon.com/crying rules.
Support us on Patreon and you'll get nothing. That's not true. You'll get a bonus podcast intermittent.
Yes, it will be. We'll probably chat about Persona 3 at some point.
Oh yeah.
Where did the notes go? There. I should have said, before we launched into Yuri Tea Time, it's our 3-year anniversary.
I can't believe it's been 3 years.
I don't know that it's our, like, 3-year recording anniversary. I think we started recording in March, right? Because it took us long time to, like, figure out how to edit that first episode.
Yes, that took some doing. I edited and re-edited that episode upwards of 20 times.
What?
I listened to it like dozens of times.
Wow.
While fiddling with it.
That's a long episode to do that.
Maybe I'm exaggerating on the numbers a little bit, but like a significant, not like a one or two pass thing. It was a significant time investment. I spent like a week on it.
Wow. I mean, like, yes, I was probably also helping, but
like, yeah.
Damn.
It's been so long since Tsukihime. You know what's good, Fen?
Tsuki fucking Hime.
They got in one, Fen. They didn't need to do the rest of it.
I think that there has been stuff of worth since.
I'm just kidding. I also think there's been a couple things of worth since.
Okay. Now. It is Yuri Tea Time. Ben? Oh, wait. That's the wrong place to hit M on. There we go. Marker inserted. Ben, you did not finish Night of Forget-Me-Nots.
Yeah, I did. I got the gist of it. Let me guess, the twins had something to do with it?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, what endings did you get?
Okay, or rather,
Night of Forget-Me-Nots, the setup is that you are playing Makoto.
A girl. No sprites, though.
No. I do love the photo backgrounds.
The photo backgrounds are good. My favorite. The one where when she's in the woods is really good.
Yes.
That was my favorite.
Yeah. That brought back like visceral memories of hiking in the woods. I was like, damn, I should go hiking more often.
We should go hiking.
Yeah. The problem is,
Ben doesn't want to go hiking with me because of my pitiful constitution.
No, I would love to go hiking. It's just that I'm like, yeah, we should go hiking. And then I like pile on the other things that I want to do. And I'm like, oh, but I have so many other things to do.
Like this podcast.
Yes. This podcast is very time consuming, which is why you should go back us on Patreon at patreon.com/cryingrules. What?
You're right. You should.
What a... Okay. Sorry, yes.
So,
photo backgrounds, great. Tons of choices.
Too many choices.
Most of them, fine. Like, whatever. You get to a choice, you make the wrong one, you get a bad end, you go back, you make a different
choice.
Okay,
we didn't say what this game is about.
Right.
It's about a girl, she's president of the drama club.
Yep.
She's going on a retreat with the rest of the drama club. There's 20 members.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, she gets lost in the woods on the way to the abandoned school that they're doing their retreat at. Not really sure why they're going to this place.
That makes sense. Like, in terms of like training camps, it's like, oh yeah, if there's a school that you could just go have free run of, uh-huh, and you're not like bothering anyone else or like competing for space in the gym or.
Yeah, I guess it's just a little like, anyway. She gets lost. She ends up at the school. Time is passing weird. There's a spooky ghost girl afoot. There's a boy who is someone from the drama club, but maybe possessed, or maybe a ghost that's taking on his appearance.
Yes.
And there's a bunch of like two-screen jump scare deaths where a little teeny voice goes, ah! And then a hand comes at you or something like that.
I think you must have seen all of them if you said a bunch. Because there are, like, no. Two.
Okay, I saw two, but there's a lot of endings on that list.
Yes, there are 15 endings. I think, like, three of them are neutral. 11 or 12 are bad. Two or three are neutral. And then there's one true ending.
I see. I got the hand,
yes,
the eye, and the ghost boy saved me.
Okay. Yes. So the there are so many choices in this. The first one, arguably the most important, is at the very beginning when this boy comes up to Makoto.
Get his name or not.
She can say, you can say like, oh yeah, I remember your name. Or you can be like, oh, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot get the true ending if you say, who are you?
Ah.
Which makes sense because as it turns out, and Ben, yes. So you got like a handful of endings and we're like, I get the gist. Anyway, I have other things to do with my life. Never mind that, like, Fen is way behind on podcast homework, and I have Fen, plenty of time to finish.
Neither of us needed to finish this game. We got the gist of it.
Okay. I liked it way more than you, apparently.
I think it's fine. It's just not really... It is so undeveloped that there's like nothing for me to grab onto, and there's too many choices for me to be like, okay, I'm gonna grapple with this.
You could have just looked up a walkthrough and done the true end.
I'm shrugging derisively.
Yeah, again, I had fun. It was like it was a pleasant way to spend an hour.
I'm not okay. This is very funny because like I'm being very dismissive of it, but it's still like solidly in the top half of these, right?
Yeah, I think it's better than a lot of them.
Yeah,
so,
but that's okay. Like speaks to the dismal, dirty depths that we've been wallowing in that are like bad ghost story. This isn't even as good as the train one, I don't think.
No. Yeah. I would say it's probably not as good as the train one. So the thing is, Makoto,
yeah,
when she was a kid, she was a real crybaby.
Uh-huh.
And she had these friends. They were twin brothers. I want to keep saying Ozawa, and it's not Ozawa, but it's something close. Anyway, the two twins were like, they had to move away, and they were like, don't cry, just remember us.
They gave her a music box.
Yes, one of them gave her a music box.
Like a white ribbon.
They moved away. She forgot about them, not at all respecting one of their last wishes to... did you know that he died?
No, I assumed one or both of them were dead, yeah.
Okay, only one of them died. That's why they moved away, it's because he was sick. and I moved for medical treatment.
Stop me if you've heard this one before. In an altogether jam game, one of the like main characters was sickly and going to the hospital to die.
He wanted to protect Makoto because she's a girl. Boring.
Yeah.
Let's see. He wanted to protect her. So he dies shortly after they move away. She forgets about them entirely. The younger twin joins the drama club, which is why she's not like, who are you, when the older twin shows up as a ghost after she gets lost. Yeah, depending on the ending and like which there are like two important things that you have to do to get the true ending. One is remember the boy's name. The second is grab the yearbook from there's a point where you can like go looking around and you can go back into the classroom and find a yearbook, and you have to grab the yearbook. Turns out the ghost, there's a little ghost girl who is the one killing the protagonist Makoto on all of the bad ends. The ghost is the ghost of the school that is sad since it's an abandoned school and everyone's left. And so in the true end, you give her, or really the boy gives her the yearbook and says like, no, they haven't like really left you behind. They carry you they carry you in their hearts, and you carry them in your hearts, or them in your heart.
Just have lots of ghosts.
Yes. Those ghosts are all like people that the school has pulled in trying to trying to like fill the void in his heart because it was abandoned. She disappears, boy also disappears, and then there's a piano piece that that Makoto knows because it was a music box that she was given by the boy, and she has a conversation with the younger brother after she gets back to school, and yeah, that's like fine. It is an interesting, yeah, again, you did not even give it the time of day.
That's not true. I played I got a couple of endings.
Yeah, it was good.
Ben, we don't have to get every ending of every single altogether game.
But I do think, like, in a similar way as to if you play Nier Automata and just get ending A, you haven't finished the game.
I think you're fine. This has been, we have thought about this before.
I couldn't remember if it was you who had this insane opinion that is like, oh, yeah, you haven't experienced most of the game, but I guess you're done.
Yeah, you have a subpar experience with it, but yeah, you're fine.
I mean,
people don't even make it to one ending of games most of the time.
Yeah,
and
but I, like
above and beyond, I guess, hitting one.
What I am saying is that if you get to ending A, you cannot say, I have finished or like completed the story of Nier Automata.
No, you can't say you 100%ed it, but you can say you beat the game.
I don't think that you can.
Okay, but here's the thing. I'm not really sold on like defending this position right at this moment. However, the difference here is Nier Automata is a completely different story and a completely different game that goes unexpected places after you beat the first ending. I knew exactly what this game was. There was no surprises for me.
I mean, like, how... You didn't know about the twins.
I knew about the
twins. Or you knew about the twins. You didn't know...
But, like...
There were a bunch of...
These aren't surprises. These are, like, the most obvious, like, this is what comes next in the world. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. There's twins. They're involved somehow. This ghost is probably one or both of them. There's an evil girl. She's connected to the school.
Well, again, but she... Yeah.
But, Fenn, that's not, like, a big surprise.
Sure.
It's not, like, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, then let's just never play a VN again, because, like, we're never going to run into interesting things.
Fuck you, first of all. But, like, none of this is developed. They're all, like, two lines about all of these things.
This is the thing.
It's so underwritten that there's no, like, meat to dig into. That's why I'm like...
You say that because you didn't get the true end, which has most of the meat.
Fen... I simply don't believe you that there's more than a couple of lines, like a couple paragraphs for each thing.
Again, like, I don't know. I did not time out.
Easily written, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just mean that, like, yes, all of the other endings aside from the true end are super breezy. And then the true end gets, like...
I'm talking about the game. I'm talking about the whole thing. Everything just kind of happens in, like, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens. You know what I mean? It's just very interesting to read. And I knew that it wasn't going to surprise me in an interesting way or do anything interesting with it. And it doesn't really sound like, to me, that it did.
Yeah, I guess this is just, like,
it's
ontological.
A ghost story. It's fine. You know, I got saved by a ghost boy. It's probably one of the twins. I knew that. I knew that as soon as I got that ending.
Yeah. Okay.
I could have guessed that he was in the hospital and he died.
Yes. I guess this is just, like...
When I was reading it, I did not feel that it was, like, really worth my time to fiddle with choices to get a bunch of different endings.
This is, again... I wish that you just said...
You
what
gotta
are
tell
the...
me... you gotta tell me what the... give me a route guide or something. You want me to do that, because, like, it's totally fine.
You touched it before I did, or I would have said, hey, here's a guide. Follow the true end.
Yeah, but it's like, it's fine. I got out of it the thing that it was.
Yeah, I guess for me it's like
a ghost story about childhood friends. It's not surprising.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know, not very many stories are surprising.
I don't really think that's true. If we're talking, like, wholly original, no stories are wholly original. But, like, this one didn't grab me particularly well. I didn't read the fucking whatchamacallit one either, right? I checked out of OMG, GTFO, whatever.
Okay,
that one's much worse.
One of the worst games that we've played.
That's one of the worst games I've ever interacted with.
Speaking of not being wholly original. Or really original at all. No.
You're so funny.
Other
Side Picnic. I feel like you've, like, I can see behind your eyes the dial of how much you enjoyed Other Side Picnic going down just to spite me because of this, like, boring ghost story that you liked for some reason.
I am going to say, Ben.
Yeah.
There are parts of Urasekai Picnic that...
Stop it. You gotta stop doing that. Just call it Other Side Picnic.
Of UP that...
No. You definitely don't call it UP. Other side picnic.
Or a Sakai picnic.
No, stop it. I'm going to come over there.
Okay.
Say it with me. Other side picnic.
Urasekai picnic.
No, I'm not doing this episode if you won't say it.
Well then, I guess we're moving on to All Around Type Moon. I'm also Ben, I'm gonna be honest. I could have just read the final chapter of Other Side Picnic. That's the only part that wasn't in the anime, is that one chapter.
I know that you're doing this despite me, and I don't appreciate it.
It is, okay.
I know you. I watched you read Other Side Picnic. I know you had a good time with it.
I had a very pleasant time with a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I have two problems with it. One is that
Ben,
it was...
Do you want to set up Other Side Picnic?
Other Sakai Picnic.
Call it Other Side Picnic. I'm going to come back over there. Ben, it's just the name of what it is. There is nothing to be gained by calling it whatever you're calling it. Just call it Other Side Picnic.
Other World Picnic. I'm so sorry, dear listener.
I don't know why we have to fight like this today. Maybe
you're caught
this is our 3-year anniversary and like mom and mom are fighting.
This is such a bad 3-year like anniversary episode.
I think completely... it's fitting for our 3-year anniversary episode to be like a retrospective goof off manga. Like thematically.
Yeah, yes. I just meant also, in terms of like our recording so far
has been crazy. Yeah.
Is like maybe the least happy I've been with a recording in progress.
I'm sorry fucking All Together Jam game.
It is my fault as much as it is yours. But it's mostly my fault.
At least we can share.
Okay. Other Side Picnic is...
Oh, yeah.
Other Side Picnic.
No, you said it once. It's good now.
I said it before. I said it a while ago.
Well, this one counted.
Okay. Okay. There is an other world.
Stop me. I've heard that one before.
There are two other worlds.
Hmm.
One of them is our world deserted. The other is the like Chernobyl exclusion zone as seen in Stalker.
Sort of, yeah. I guess there's an interesting way, I don't know if they describe it here, but like they talk about it in terms of depth. Like it's moving towards something, and there are layers that you move through that get increasingly abstracted from reality. That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah, this has like basically two layers.
Yeah,
in that there is the our world with no other people in it that weird stuff can happen in.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the other side, which is like different geography.
Yeah, environmentally matching though.
Environmentally matching?
As in, like, generally it rains when it rains. Generally the weather is similar.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's not like a big surprise.
Oh, interesting. I don't know. That was just like... It's weird that it's like, oh yeah, there's a city here when there's nothing in the real world. Or, mm-hmm. No, I guess they do say that the geography roughly matches.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not a mirror. It is like someone sketching the real world or like a deep fried JPEG of the real world.
Or like you could imagine that this is the real world like 10,000 years later or whatever. Like there's like abandoned ruins of buildings, but they're like fake buildings, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it's an AI-generated image world.
That is a really good description of it.
Okay, Sorowo and Toriko explore the other side.
It's a science fiction story.
It's very there is broad plot, and then also there is kind of what is the ghost of the week.
Yes. New monster every week, Van?
At least in the first two volumes, the monster of the week takes kind of until maybe like kind of the final chapter, the monster of the week really dominates.
Yeah.
And even there, it is another like, oh yes, there's like broad plot stuff happening, but there's still like a monster of the week that takes the majority of a lot of that chapter. Because it's a pretty short chapter.
Yeah.
There was an anime adaptation.
This is so funny.
When was this?
Other Side Picnic is... I may have told this story before, but... Other Side Picnic is one of the very first anime that me and Fenn watched together, like seasonal anime. And it's not a very good adaptation. It's not a great anime. It doesn't look good. But I have a lot of fondness for it and Other Side in general because I associate it with a formative time in me and Fenn's relationship. And... in general, with the formation of this podcast. You know what I mean? Fenn doesn't really have any of these sentimental feelings about Other Side.
This is interesting. Okay. It does, in the sense that, like...
See, Wonder Egg is probably more formative because we had to complain about that more.
Right? Yeah.
But, like, we talk about that all the time.
We did at the beginning of this podcast.
We still bring it up.
The thing is my like connections are, oh yes, right. If I don't think about Other Side Picnic aside from how rabid a bunch of people online are about it.
I think they're wrong. I think Other Side's pretty good. I think we can probably agree on that.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, it's not super original. It's like, the romance is really backseated to, like, fun ghost stories. The ghost stories are pretty fun sometimes.
Sorry, Ben. What romance? They're just good friends.
It's a slow burn.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding about that. It is a slow burn.
Yes, no. I know that it is. Yes. Mm-hmm. I know.
Oh, you're trying to, like, dunk on me by calling it Coward's Yuri or something. Fenn, I'm two omnibuses ahead of you. It's not Coward's Yuri anymore.
Okay, this part that we watched is Coward's Yuri.
Red, but yes.
Red. I'm looking at the anime page to say that it is winter 2021.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how long it takes to actually get to anything romantic, you know?
I mean, like, okay, here's the actual thing.
Romantic
is
even a strong word.
It's immediately romantic.
Yeah, Toriko.
Soro!
Toriko and Soro have very romantic attitudes toward each other when they meet each other.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a... Okay. What are the files? Let's do a short description of each file.
God.
Look it up.
Oh. Well, where would I find that? Can't you?
My computer's not on.
Oh, okay.
Just go to Wikipedia.
Other Side Picnic. Wikipedia. Let's see. Kune hunting.
Okay, let's start here. Sorobo is a antisocial freak. Who goes to college. They're college girls, which is interesting. She has an interest in true ghost stories. Not urban legends, but stories people claim actually happened to them online. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She wants to do a sociology project on that for her college like thesis, basically.
Yeah.
She has a penchant for wandering around abandoned ruins and at some point discovered a door to another world.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, this is so sick. There's no people here. I can have fun. And just like hang out. She is almost immediately killed.
Well, almost
almost killed. She's drowning in a puddle after seeing a creature called a Kune Kune, which is like a wibbly wobbly man.
Kune.
And then she is saved by a blonde Canadian, half Canadian, half Japanese hottie with a gun.
Yeah.
There's the Ophelia line, that's good. She's drowning in the puddle.
As part of this, that's where they get their eye and hand?
It's the second part of that.
Okay.
Right,
save
right, Toriko.
Right. They go back.
They manage to kill... Oh, wait, no, you're right. It is. It must happen right here because they manage to... No, they don't.
They run away?
Rock salt. Rock salt works.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
They kill the Kune Kune by throwing rock salt at it. Kune Kune. Sorry. I've read this book out loud to someone, so I've said the word Kune Kune so many times that it's gonna be hard for me to unlearn that, but you are right. Toriko works for someone who collects other sideshow
mm-hmm.
and can make a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, Soro, you want to be friends with me? This hot Canadian girl with a gun? Some spooky stuff happens and they end up working together.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then they go back to find another Kune and they almost die again. Mm-hmm. And both of them get supernaturally changed by the experience.
Yes. Soro gets
a cool Chunie blue eye.
There's a bit later where she's like, ugh, I'm just like having heterochromia like would just like make me look weird or whatever, and I'm like, no, it is one of the hottest things that a girl could have is heterochromia.
Uh-huh. Is like Chunie heterochromia. Toriko's hand gets fucked. There's a cool part where like bone spur mushrooms are growing out of Soro's face, and Toriko is trying to pull them off her face.
Yeah.
And that's how her eye gets changed, and Toriko's hand that she was using.
The eye and the hand can then interact with the other world.
In distinct ways.
A way that, like, the normal humans cannot.
Yeah. Seeing and touching.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything else from the first chapter that's important? Toriko goes to a different college than her. Yeah.
Yeah. Hashaku-sama?
Hashaku-sama.
Big lady.
She's a big lady. Also, they meet a guy from Stalker.
Yes.
The Stalker guy, Aburado, is so funny.
He comes, like, he dies, right?
Well, I couldn't tell you what happened to him, but he gets taken away by a ghost called Hashaku-sama.
Yes.
There's the really fun bit with this is Aburado's looking for his wife.
Mm-hmm.
She got spirited away. He found out about the other side. He's been trying to find her ever since. He's like been living here for some time and he's not doing really good anymore. And they get onto the trail of Hashaku-sama, who's like an 8-foot tall ghost in white.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great bit where he is. Oh, this is an important thing. Toriko's looking for someone.
Oh, yeah.
Soro is just playing around. Toriko's looking for a woman named Uruma Satsuki.
Yes.
Who is her tutor. She clearly has a thing for her and disappeared one day and was the one who taught her about the other side.
I don't know what you mean, Ben. I think that they're just good friends.
You're very funny. I know you're doing this despite me, but you're very funny.
I know that I'm very funny.
She clearly has complicated feelings about Satsuki and Uruma. Uruma Satsuki. Sorry, it's switched in there.
Yes. Satsuki.
The fun bit is this part where Toriko and Aburado run ahead thinking that the ghost has tricked them into thinking that she is the person that they are looking for, right?
Yeah.
And Soro is like, no, I have to stop Toriko, and she's like grabbing at Toriko and trying to stop her from getting taken by the ghost like Aburado did, and then it turns out she's grabbing at the ghost because she got tricked.
Uh-huh.
And Toriko's fine.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's a fun little reversal.
Yeah.
Guy gets kidnapped. They have to kill the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a gun otaku thing. So guns are very prominent in Other Side.
Yeah.
Guns are more prominent than Yuri.
Yeah. Yeah. So far, at least.
They steal her hat.
They both have, what, Markov pistols? There's a lot of Soviet guns.
Yeah, that actually makes sense, because it's Stalker.
Oh, right, because it's Stalker. Uh-huh. Yes. I said that, and then I was like, right, it's Stalker.
I think it's fun that they never run into a glitch until this guy tells them about glitches, and then suddenly glitches are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It feels almost like he's introduced a new concept to them that, mm-hmm. like, now it can affect them.
Yeah.
He, like, made it more Stalker.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They are, yeah, that feels as much like, yeah, you have to introduce stuff slowly as in a story.
Oh, yeah. No. That's not, like, confirmed or anything like that. I just think it's a funny, an interesting idea that they just, like, wandered around and never stepped into any of these, like, traps that are fucking everywhere that can explode you.
Yeah.
Turn you inside out. I don't think it's...
No.
I'm reading into it. It's fun.
Yes, that is fun. It is also, like, oh, the beginning of this story is when they actually start exploring the other side.
Yeah.
Like, before this, like, yeah, Soro just goes in to hang out and get away from people. And Toriko's like, I'm gonna, like, get 10 feet away from this gate and then go home.
Yeah, uh-huh.
gates are those.
She never went, Toriko never went to the other side with Satsuki.
Really?
No, I don't think, she went in, but she never went exploring. That's
yeah,
the bit.
Yeah.
She's, like, been there, so she knew how to get there, but they do the elevator thing. That's their main gate in,
mm-hmm.
is the, like, go to a bunch of random floors on an elevator. There's a spooky lady in it. It's cool. Yeah. So it was like, oh, there's someone trying to get on. And Tortoka's like, oh, yeah, she always tries to get on the fifth floor.
Station February, they meet a bunch of Marines.
Have they met Kozakura at this point?
Oh, yeah. Right, because they have to give her the cube.
Kozakura is a scientist who hates all of this stuff, but pays them a lot of money for other side shit for some reason.
Yep.
She's as very small.
She's very small.
And in her 30s, probably.
As it turns out, Satsuki just wandered through Tokyo, picking up girlfriends.
Yeah, yeah.
Friends who feel a special connection with her that uh-huh. is entirely platonic and normal.
Yeah, it's definitely normal, is definitely how they feel about Satsuki.
They all, okay, everyone that we've seen
mm-hmm.
is like, oh yeah, I had a special relationship with
yeah, them. Uh-huh. This is part of this is because Soro hasn't admitted that gay people exist yet. Soro is such an interesting person to be in the head of.
Mm-hmm.
She's very unpleasant. I like that.
I don't think she's very unpleasant at all.
She's a misanthrope.
Yeah.
Right.
I
find her likable, but she's not she's not friendly. She's mean to people. She has nervous whenever she has to talk to someone.
Yeah, I guess all of this is just making me realize that I'm an awful person.
See.
If
she's not beyond the pale of either of us. Well, maybe she is in certain ways, but she haven't gotten there yet.
Okay,
what I'm getting
sucks. We shouldn't have done this because I'm like, oh yeah, like she's a normal person.
She's
doesn't like people very much.
Hmm. She's more like a Nasu protagonist, right?
How so?
I would call Shiki and Shiro both kind of unpleasant people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're they're not good around other people. They're not really friendly. They give everyone else around them a hard time unless they're scared of them. You know what I mean?
I think
this is Soro.
Soro, is nice to her friends.
I don't think she's that nice. She's rude to Akari. She's outwardly rude to Akari.
Yeah, because they're not friends yet.
And she is weird around Toriko.
Yeah, but there's a playfulness there.
That's interesting.
Okay. I guess this is... Yeah, I often think about someone saying that the Maigo girls aren't actually awful. Or as awful as everyone likes to pretend that they are. In a way that is yeah, they're teenagers. Of course yeah.
They're
slightly
not the devil.
Unpleasant to people around them. They're not killing nice people or whatever.
No, that's not what I'm saying Soro is either, right? She's an awkward college student, but I like that part of her.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying that she's not an anti-hero.
No.
She's not out here, We shouldn't. I should not have agreed to this. If you're gonna every sentence I say is gonna be
I'm just joking.
Well,
I'm just joking with you. She's not
in two volumes.
Oh
actually,
my God, you know what? If you had been reading these earlier, so we could have done them earlier, there wouldn't be such a gap in knowledge.
No. My. I'm sorry for being frustrated about Other Side Picnic. It does feel every takeaway I have from this is You just standing over there going, well, wait two volumes,
well, okay.
And then...
I think that you generally think it's fine.
I think
it's fine to good.
Here's the
right?
thing, is if it hadn't been set up as something incredible, I would have...
I don't think I've ever said that, right?
No. I was in a Discord specifically where people were rabid for it.
We liked the Yuri Made Me Human model.
Yes. Miyazawa is a genius.
In terms of Yuri Made Me Human.
Yuri Made Me Human. And the way that he writes
mm-hmm.
is good.
Yeah.
It is a fun series.
I think one of the strengths of Other Side Picnic is how digestible it is. It's really good at reminding you where everything happened and like making events like modular so that they can be slotted in and out and be like, oh yes, this is the name of that event. These characters are associated with it.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. It's like good at catching you up in a way that makes it feel like it was serially written, basically.
For all of my poking at it being Kawajiri, like, again, I do think that he is good at writing these girls.
I think it's like a benefit to the story that it's not immediately like laying it on thick.
Yes. Yes. Again, this is just me being...
You're being difficult.
Yes.
And that's okay. I can take very little lumps, and then I have a breakdown, and you need to comfort me. My ego is massive and very fragile, Fan.
All of this is to say that I did have a pretty nice time.
That's good. I'm glad to hear
reading it. It's just that I went in expecting, like, the holy grail of...
Never.
Or, yes. Sorry. Did not go in expecting. It is also the case that all I want to do right now is finish my second playthrough of CCC and finish Tsuinostella. And having to do stuff for Pod really has me like, why am I even doing this? What is even the point?
You wouldn't be doing any of this stuff without Pod. That's not totally true, but a lot of the stuff you wouldn't be doing without...
I would do both of those without a Pod. I'm doing one of those without a Pod!
Anyway.
Anyway. And I would have... I did like Stay Night enough that I, like, would have kept following... I'm, in fact, doing it before Pod, Ben! Both of those things!
I don't know what's happened to Fen. I think Fen, I may have rabies. I might have to put Fen down.
Don't threaten me with a good time. All of this is to say that I don't think that I was able to give the section of this that I read for this podcast a particularly fair shake.
That's
and
fair.
Still walked away going, yeah, I'm gonna read more of this.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's my takeaway, is generally I think it's pretty good. The Gun Otaku stuff can be a little bit grating sometimes. I think the US soldier stuff just kind of sucks.
I think it's
all of the images are good there, but like in general I think it's really weird vibe.
I think that is intentional, right? Like,
yeah,
when,
but
when
it's not
the,
intentional enough, I feel like.
When the U.S. soldier brings up Israel genociding Palestinians in a, like, isn't it cool?
Yeah.
That is supposed to be a part where both Soro and the reader are like, oh, that's who these people are.
Yes. Yes, this is an interesting, because that part of the context of Soro being like, I'm really uncomfortable and I want to get out of this conversation right now, that's freaky, is totally lost in, from what I hear, both the anime and the manga.
Yeah.
It's just, isn't it cool that we use this to kill Palestinians?
Yeah.
Or that people have used this. But what I mean is, they still then go use that truck and have a cool time mowing down faceless monsters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's convenient. The other side at times is a convenient place for people to use highly dangerous weaponry on non-human entities that they don't have to feel bad for killing.
Yes. Yeah. It is
and,
like
this is like, we play Blue Archive. They love to have guns that are real, like based on real guns, and shoot each other with them, and it's fine. You know what I mean?
But okay, they are based on, and also, I don't think that the Blue Archive is nearly as gun fetishy as... No.
Yeah, there's something like tactical about Other Side Picnic all the time.
Which is... It is funny how much this has activated a like latent... I played Airsoft as a teen.
This is like one of the most mysterious... Like the most fascinating coming out things about Van is I was a teenage gun otaku.
Specifically the thing is that Toriko, so they both have Markovs, which are pistols, Markov pistols, and Toriko has an AK-101,
mm-hmm.
and Soro ends up with a M4 CQBR.
Mm-hmm.
And I had I don't remember what the first airsoft gun I had was, but the second one I had was an AK-74,
mm-hmm.
which is the 101 is basically an mostly materials update for that rifle. Mm-hmm. I think it also takes different ammo. But as an airsoft gun, like, you don't, yeah.
So you were like, wow, cool gun.
And I was like, oh, I know how it is to not handle a real one, but like, that was a metal and plastic gun, just like the real one is, and like probably weighed roughly the same, except for magazines, because again, those weigh very little when they just have plastic pellets in them instead of a bunch of metal. But it's like, oh, I have an idea of how it is to carry something like this around and use it. Again, like some idea, not I haven't fired a real one, but yeah, which is like an interesting.
Yeah, it's like. We've all played video games here. I've played a lot of video games about shooting people with, like, faceless villains with guns. You know what I mean? I've had the moment where I'm like, wow, this is a cool gun. You know what I mean? It's an interesting tension to sit with, because it's like, especially when it comes to the U.S. soldier stuff, because it really grounds it in a weird way of like, oh yeah, these are occupying troops from America who are just like in Okinawa. Famously not well-behaved garrison of troops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think many U.S. garrisons are famously well-behaved. No. But the Okinawa one, it's not great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so to have them, like, talk about real-world conflicts and, like, them, Hatsuro and Toriko helping out the American soldiers is such a weird vibe. I would believe that they, like, did a crossover event with, like, an American soda brand or something to make this, and then they just put it in the
Well, this is the thing, is that like in the final chapter that we read, Toro says, oh yeah, I helped them to get them out of my playground.
Yes. This is the kind of thing I mean when I say that she's kind of a weirdo, right?
Yeah.
She's like, there's a recurring refrain of like, no one else is allowed to be in this natural phenomenon that exists globally besides me and this girl that I have special feelings for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Because, like, she's not the one who decides. She does decide to help them, right?
Yeah.
This is another thing. Is I think Toriko, it comes off initially as being, like, the nice one. You know what I mean? But she's also kind of guarded around the soldiers, not really interested in helping them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She's very selfish in that all she cares about is finding Satsuki.
Yes. I think that stuff's interesting.
Yeah. Well, again, and this is...
Soro's not...
I don't think Soro's that
normal
bad,
girl who's
right?
called to adventure. I don't think she's bad. I think she's not a bubbly girl with a call to adventure. I think she's kind of a weirdo who's been... A choony weirdo who's been waiting for something special to happen to her. In a way that she could be a really bad person if she fell in with a worse crowd. That's kind of the vibe I get from her.
It is very funny that Kozakura calls out Soro as someone who would be prone to cults.
Take the plant thing, for example. When she's with Kozakura. That happened, right?
Yeah.
She turns Kozakura's freaked out and she's like, I guess I'll just use my powers to turn her into a plant because she's more convenient that way.
It does. Okay, that is also a, like, listen, I have to, like, keep her safe somehow. In the moment, she's like, oh, yes, this will keep her safe.
But also, it's not like a, hey, I'm going to do something. She just kind of does it, doesn't she?
She does it. And then she feels bad when she finds out that it was, like, awful.
She's not, like, a serial killer or anything like
that. Yes, this is just what I mean. It's like, she's not someone who goes out of her way or even, like, tries to hurt people.
No.
She's just not, like, overly nice to everyone that she meets.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm talking about, right? Because a lot of anime-adjacent stuff, I feel like you get a protagonist who's a little too nice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This is why Maigo's good. Anon's not a murderer. She's just using people.
Yeah.
Like, normally. Like, normal people do. And that's why it's good, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at.
I do think that the Maigo cast maybe hurts other people intentionally way more than
Soro would be a mid-tier Maigo member, not like at the top of drama.
But... Soro is like the meanest Bandori character pre-Maigo.
Interesting. Soro would not be in a band. I don't even think Toriko could get her into a band.
No.
Okay.
What?
No, I'm just trying to figure out how to talk about this now, because our going story by story thing kind of broke down.
Yeah, the fourth one is like kind of major plot stuff.
Which one is that? Oh, is it the
time, space, and middle-aged man?
This is the first time they get into the interstitial space, they call it, right?
Yeah, or intentionally get in. Or, no, sorry, it's not intentional.
They put on the hat, right?
They put on the hat and then exit the, like...
That's a great moment. Yeah. When the waiter just comes back and starts, like, speaking gibberish to them and looking upset. And then there's just, like, weird noises from the kitchen. And they're like, let's get out of here. And then they're just not on Earth anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That stuff's really fun. I like the way it's like, it's not like a clear delineation very quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, here's our fun isekai world we can go and have fun in. It's like, ah, this shit's coming home with us, you know?
Yes. Yes. There's not a clear delineation in terms of they can, like, very literally, physically, they bring back the effects of the other side.
Mm-hmm.
After their, like, second time. Actually, yeah. Exploring
it starts looking for them sometimes too, which yeah. Is interesting.
Yes. But there is still kind of a, yeah, as you said, there are like distinct layers.
Yeah,
they don't ever really like exist between layers,
or the interstitial space is supposed to be the in between, right?
Yes, but that is a distinct layer. Like,
yeah,
they don't, people don't gradually disappear. It is always framed as, I just realized there's no one around.
Well, I guess you get the waiter, right? The waiter is acting weird, and then they kind of lose track of where they are.
I guess that's fair.
Yeah. It's like, it tends to be that people start clearing out before they notice anything is wrong, I think is the thing. And then you get a couple people acting kind of strange, and then you get away from them, and then... you're clearly in the next layer.
Yeah.
And then when you're going to the other side, that's like you go through a door.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or you do something to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. This story is about, well, is this also the introduction of the blue?
Toriko says at the very beginning, she says, things get blue, you got to get out of there. It's all, everything's worse when it's blue, uh-huh. Which is notable why, Toriko's hand turns translucent blue and Sora's eye turns blue.
The description of Toriko's hand is as if it's like pure, like the anime made it a transparent blue.
Yeah.
But there's a description of her like picking up ham, I think, where Toriko or Sora is like, oh, you can kind of see the vague outline of where it should be.
Mm.
And you can tell that it's picking up something. But if you're not paying attention, it is just pure transparent.
Interesting. But yes, Soro's is very blue.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's got that flame goes, like, in her eye.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She does the rice shower.
Highlights on fire. Yes.
Always
cool.
Always when, cool. When, it's always cool.
Okay, it's always cool when girl eyes do this.
Yes, it's always cool.
I could not care less news for boys. I know what I'm about. I have good taste.
You have great taste. So, let's see. They put... what do you think of their drinking parties? These girls drink a lot of alcohol. They eat a lot of food.
It is a reminder that they are college students.
College students. sort of a student loans thing also early on. It's not really like an ongoing problem because they make good money bringing junk back from hell.
And then they use their credit cards to buy a tobacco harvesting machine.
That was all Soro. Soro is a freak sometimes. Soro has a drinking problem. So does Toriko, but Soro has a drinking problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Anyway, Soro, this is both, she goes to Toriko's apartment, right?
Right, Toriko disappears one day. There's one of the ghost stories is about Toriko disappearing.
After they come back from the station February,
mm-hmm.
Soro says, I don't want to go there anymore. Like, I won't explore the other side with you anymore. And they have an argument. And Toriko or Soro eventually goes to Toriko's apartment and looks through the like thing and sees the deep blue.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And also meets a guy who's like, don't come back or you won't ever be able to leave.
Uh-huh. There's an interesting thing happens where Soto is like, I don't know if some of these things that are happening are like real guys, you know? Mm-hmm. It feels like a ghost story is happening to me in this weird, like, regurgitated sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that guy was really a guy who was warning me about something. He's just like kind of saying lines like an NPC.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is another thing is pretty early on, Soto starts getting extremely jealous of Satsuki whenever Toniko mentions her, which is very funny.
Yeah.
This is here's another Soto is kind of an asshole thing is Toriko's like, there's someone very important to me who I've lost and I really want to reconnect with them. And can you help me find them? And Soto's like, I don't want to hear about that. I don't care. I don't care about that. I like you, but I don't want to hear about your friend. Know what I mean?
Yeah. This is another.
You don't buy this.
This is another thing where I'm like, right, yes, I am also an awful person, I guess.
This is why she's relatable, Fan, is that you don't think I'm an unpleasant person. I'm an unpleasant person.
I just think that, like, yeah.
An unpleasant
I just think that
person,
she's not good at pretending to be a nice person.
Yes, that's an unpleasant person.
Is it?
Yes. Because, like, a nice person is someone who can fake it in a social situation. Like, have you seen me interact with someone new who I don't know very well? I'm so rude to them. I don't mean to be. I just can't put on the social veneer at all. I'm very, very dismissive of everything that people are saying. Like, I'm not nice to people I don't know very well. Even the meanest person in the world is good to their friends. You know what I mean?
I don't know that that's true.
Okay. The devil's probably not. But, like, generally, yeah, people who suck have people who they treat better than others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sure, maybe you're also... But, like, the idea of... there's, like, a pop, like, psych idea of, like, that happens on the internet where it's, like, there are normal people and then there are abusers who are bad and evil and everything they say is evil. And that's not really true. You know what I mean?
No, that's not true.
Soto's, like, in this interstitial space, where she's, like, protective of the people that she cares about and not very nice to people that she doesn't know. Not even in, like, a courtesy way. That's the thing I'm trying to get at.
Okay, she does help Karateka, is all Karateka?
Karateka. Akari. We can just call her Akari.
Yes, I was about to say, I do not know her normal name because it gets mentioned like two times after she is entered and then is always referred to as...
That's a joke that doesn't really... that could have been localized a little better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just awkward. It's awkward to say. It feels weird in English.
Well, I think of the game Karateka.
Mm-hmm.
I
didn't know about that. Maybe it would have worked better for me if I knew about that game. It means like karate practitioner.
Mm.
So, yeah. But like, helping Akari is like pulling teeth with her a little bit, right?
Yes.
She only decides to help her once she also starts seeing ninja cats. Once cats start like staring at her suspiciously from all over the place, she's like, okay, maybe this is something and I should get involved.
Yeah.
But she really does treat that girl like shit.
I think, yeah. I mean, like Fenn, she treats her like someone who walked up to her and was like, hey, you're really weird. Yes. Will you help me?
Yes, Fenn. We're unpleasant people. That's what I'm getting at. That's why I like her. Is because she's more like me than
I also. I
like,
also like.
Oh
her.
No, you're in trouble. Let me help you immediately. No, she's like, fuck off. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have special powers. I'm leaving. Please let me go.
Yeah.
You know what
sorry.
I mean?
I'm
and like that's normal to you and me, but like that's what people would call a rude person.
I think people just have a bad like.
I'm with you.
I think the world is wrong, is what I'm saying.
I also agree that people could stand to have better boundaries. I don't like people being overly friendly with me who I don't know, you know what I mean?
This is the funniest thing about me is that if I like you, I will be overly friendly.
Yes.
And if I don't know you or don't like you, I'm like, why are you talking to me? Yes. Please go away.
But that's an unpleasant person, Fen. I thought I was crazy. I thought I was like, wow, I guess Soto is just like a completely normal girl for the entire first two volumes. I guess I was just thinking
she entirely, seems like,
but she's not, Fen.
This is a
it's because we're weirdos.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. She's very relatable, though. Sad about her student loans. Wants to
bitter
run away
about
from the world.
Her friend having any other friends. We should read Tropical Fish at some point.
Yes. Okay. Is there anything else?
They rescue the U.S. forces.
Rescue the U.S. forces.
She
rescues Toriko from a fake version of Satsuki Iruma. Right. Yes. There's like a monster that's pretending to be her. It like sort of when she looks at people with the right eye, she can like see what they really look like.
That's when they're on the beach.
She does this a few times. No.
Oh, sorry.
That's
yes,
the real
at the,
one.
At the end of Time, Space, and the Middle Aged Man.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
The it's like an evil windmill. So yeah. The monster descriptions are things that just don't translate to visuals at all, but they're really cool sounding and weird sounding.
Yeah.
In text.
Yes. This is a large part of why I think that it is a light novel first. And so Miyazawa gets to use the power of language to describe these things.
Yes.
That are making them actual visuals is like
miserable.
Oh, a lot of those are just going to look goofy.
I think that the
or
anime,
it's hard to make them look scary and
I think,
weird.
I think the anime and the manga for the windmill woman kind of just make it a big scary butterfly, which works.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
There's something fun about how abstract it is.
Yeah.
In because like Hashaku-sama is like a bent torty gate and her like footprints are like the little like round pegs pumping into the ground. Mm-hmm. Instead of like regular footprints, but other people see regular footprints. That stuff's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they see those footprints and think those are human footprints.
Yeah.
Because it's like working on their brain, right?
Yeah.
Save the U.S. forces. That's fine. I like that the monster's called the Walking Gallows. That's cool as hell.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is the funniest part of them saving the U.S. forces is that they get to go pick out guns.
It's kids in the candy shop for 100%.
Toriko picks up an M4, is like, this is a little too big. Anyway, do you have that like 3-foot-long rifle I fired last time? Can I just like take a look at that?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, yeah, no, this is too big. And I'm like, I could have told you that.
This happens earlier, I think. But when they first get picked up by the U.S. forces, and the guy is like, don't use your phones. Something bad will happen. And they go into the tent and they're like, hey, Sakura, we ended up in hell again. That's a great conversation because they start they stop making sense to each other really quickly.
Yeah, that is an interesting... That's interesting that they, like, later on develops the idea that language doesn't translate between the two places.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's something that came later.
Yeah.
Or...
Because it, like, changes here, right?
Yes.
It's almost like I would totally believe that the idea that it's 100%, it's like the words that you write in the other side and they look normal to you there, are different than the words that you write in the real world. They're unrecognizable.
Yes. And vice versa. Another.
And vice versa. But if you bring it to the other side and back, it's not scrambled.
Yeah.
It goes back to normal. It's because something happens to your brain while you're there.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't really totally make sense with how the phone conversation is working, but it is.
Which is why
it is scarier that they start making sense and then stop making sense.
Yes. After they rescue the U.S. forces, they spend a night on a beach, or they spend a night drinking and end up on a beach.
Yeah, there's a great Toriko sleeping naked next to Sotaro after a drunken bender thing. There's a weird thing about how the room has a toilet in the middle of it.
And it's a New York style.
New York style. Yeah. They like try and do a beach episode, but they end up back in the other side for some reason, and in a worse part of the other side than usual.
Yeah. The Sasuke shows up as they're like escaping.
Yeah, this is the quote unquote real one, because she doesn't look different when Soro looks at her with her other eye.
Yes.
It doesn't seem like she's doing well. It seems like she's doing fine.
This is okay. Ben, don't give any indication of how true or not this is.
Ooh, yeah.
At this point, I am like 90% sure that Sasuke has always been an other side creature.
Ooh, that's really interesting.
Because okay, yeah, it's the her showing up all over the other side.
Uh-huh.
Her like preternatural ability to wander through the world and attract
to like sniff out
girls.
Vulnerable people who might go to the other side.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And the her journal being written in other side,
uh-huh,
is like the primary thing, uh-huh, that made me go like, yeah, like of course she is originally from the other side.
Okay, here's a really fun bit. I'm not clear either on what Satsuki is. Okay. Completely, you know what I mean? There's been some like theories bumped around, but I don't know. The stuff with Satsuki is not finished, so I don't actually know, and that's a really fun theory, because like I always had the vibe of like, okay, she was a person, she was kind of a bad person,
mm-hmm,
she was going to the other side and started to become part of it.
Right. The other thing is that she shows up with a bunch of artifacts
when they find the journal.
She joins the group.
Oh, right. Okay.
They're like, oh, weird. You have like way more of these than we've ever seen. And
yeah,
also you know a different way to get there? Oh, uh-huh. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, she's kind of creepy. I like Satsuki a lot. You like only get her out of the corner of your eye, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she's like kind of this like ominous driving force. It's like, oh, Toriko's like connection to her is really unhealthy, it feels like. Like when we find out that Akari is also,
at least from Sora's perspective. But yes, like it is okay. The most interesting thing about Toriko's connection to Satsuki is, at least so far, Soro has gone out of her way to not like make it clear to Toriko that Satsuki is evil now.
Yeah. So Soro doesn't want to admit that she's seen her.
Yes. And which, yeah, is to me reads as, well, like it is better if Toriko keeps pining after this person than like hurting her by showing her like that the person that she had feelings for, yeah, has like become, yeah, this creature.
That's interesting, because the way that she frames it, and I think a way that is a pretty good read, is like, I want Toriko not only to not care about this woman anymore, but to forget her completely, and I can't give her any indication that she's actually right there. You know what I mean? I think both of these are interesting, right? She also is very gentle on Toriko, even if she's outwardly kind of mean to her at times, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever Satsuki was, that's a monster.
Yep.
That's freaky monster. Does the hair thing happen in this volume? No. Okay. I thought that happened in the Katori Bako episode.
There is hair in like in the water tank.
Oh, no. Soro's hair.
No.
That bit doesn't happen?
No.
Interesting. It must be a different part. Anyway.
It might be the beginning of volume 3.
So, Satsuki's an interesting character. Like, Toriko clearly has some kind of special feelings for her. I don't think it's like a jump to be like, oh, Toriko is harboring romantic feelings for Satsuki, right?
No, yes. All of my joking
aside,
like, yes, of course, Toriko and Kozakura, both.
Speaking of like people who are preternatural abusers, like, Toriko's like, I had a special relationship with Satsuki. She shared things with me that no one else knew. I didn't know that she had Akari. I didn't know that she was also telling Akari about the other side, or like kind of prepping the ground for her. You know what I mean?
And then, Migawa says, oh yeah, she had like a bunch of people.
It's Migiwa.
Migiwa? Migiwa. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
You're fine. Yeah, Migiwa is like, no, she had tons of connections and kept these things compartmentalized, and this kind of freaks Toriko out, right?
Yes.
Yeah, even Kozakura seems to have like weird feelings about Satsuki, you know what I mean? It feels like every girl she's met is like longing for her.
Yes, which is what makes me feel like she can't be human.
She's not. She doesn't seem to be human anymore.
Yes.
But I would believe at some point in history there was a human woman named Onuma Satsuki who at some point started to blur the line between human and not human anymore. They use the term fourth kinds, right?
Yeah.
People who are affected by the other world.
Yeah.
Like an encounter of the fourth kind.
Yeah. You know?
Aliens. Not actually aliens, but that's like alien terminology, right?
Well, third kind is aliens.
Well, there's a bunch of different kinds. Like, yeah. It goes up.
I mean, like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That. That's about aliens.
Yes, yes, yes. But it's like a
and
scale.
And the fourth kind, you know? is mm-hmm. other side.
Mm-hmm. Or the way that they frame it is Encounter of the Third Kind is like a face-to-face encounter with something supernatural. Something otherworldly. And the fourth kind is your body is physically changed. That's how they define it here.
Right.
So both Toriko and Soro are fourth kinds because of the arms and eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, so, the description of the guy who is just like shreds of paper.
Okay, we have to actually get to this.
Yes. Okay, they
Satsuki was connected to an organization called Dark Science Research.
Well, we briefly talked about it. The Ninja Cats attack.
That's such like an interstitial Saturday morning cartoon episode. We do get some interesting stuff in there.
But yes. Akari. Turns out that Satsuki had like put a char a other side object into Akari.
Yeah. Seems that way.
And that's what the Ninja Cats were attacking her.
Gave it to her, is what Akari said, but somehow it ended up inside her stomach.
Yes.
This is also where we get Soro has the power to drive people insane by looking at them for too long.
Cool.
By like, focusing on them.
Yeah.
And Toriko's hand can go inside of people and take things out.
That's, yeah. That was like, oh yeah, of course.
Uh-huh. Soro's eye is freaky, though.
Yeah.
That's a power that you don't want people to have.
It is really fun. Yes. Her, like, her ability to overlay the other side and reality on top of one another with her eye is really interesting.
Can I tell you something that's not really a spoiler? It's like a mechanical spoiler for how Soro's eye works.
Sure, I guess.
She can do it through screens.
Huh. That makes sense.
Yeah, but that's some like Death Note shit. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I don't know the limitations of that, but it's like a good bit.
Yeah, the main bit there is like, okay, Sasuke's definitely, or that is again a like she wasn't like just getting a bunch of like tutoring a bunch of people out of the goodness of her
heart. No.
Like she was doing bad things to these people.
Uh-huh.
And then the final chapter, the Satsuki was they call her a visiting researcher.
Yes. Guest researcher.
Guest researcher of what
is DS research? It has a longer
dark
name,
science.
But it's dark science research and they abbreviate it DS.
It's so funny how much Soro's like it's a cult.
We do
get
Soro's backstory from the episode where she turns Kozakura into a plant.
Do we?
Yeah, she tells a story. We can get wrapped back around to that because we've passed that.
Anyway, they see a bunch of people who were like, well, one, there's a way to the other side through like
meditation.
Opening your chakras.
Uh-huh.
And which
feels like it goes bad.
Yes, is more dangerous than doing the like.
What do you think of Migiwa?
He's just a nice businessman.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's all.
Yeah.
I read the Wikipedia page and there's something that I did not know. And then I began to read his bio on the wiki and then like saw something I didn't know. And I was like, I'm going to stop here.
He's a funny guy.
I'm not going to finish that sentence.
When I talk about Gunotaku, like tactical stuff, Migiwa is one of the things I'm thinking of, but I also think he's a funny guy.
It's fascinating.
Because he's like,
in his introduction is just like
he's a manager
showing them around and like going like, oh yeah, I don't do research, but like,
yeah, yeah, he like runs the building and organizes stuff.
Yeah,
he wears a nice suit.
Yeah,
he's very polite.
He has a nice car. It's so, really funny that Kozakura loves cool cars.
Kozakura loves cool cars and driving cool cars, even though she's tiny.
And Migiwa is like, you know, well, you could drive this all the time if you like came to work for us. And Kozakura's like, I am a hikikomori. I like to stay home.
Kozakura's very like much independently rich or something, right?
I think she's...
because she's not actually doing other side research, or she's doing it tangentially.
I think she's taking a large cut of what Sora...
But she has a mansion.
Yeah.
She has an old mansion.
I would believe that she came from money.
Yeah. She has an old mansion that she's not treating very well.
Yeah.
But yes, she's not buying those artifacts. She is an intermediary selling them to Dark Science, to DS Research.
Yeah.
And there's a point at which she's like, Toriko and Soro, you gotta stop doing this because you're gonna die or worse. I'm gonna show you some fucked up shit to convince you to stop. And that's how they get to DS Research. They also...
No.
Well, that's part of it, right? That's the first half of that is...
She agrees to... So, they buy a tobacco harvester in Okinawa.
Get shipped back home as a vehicle for the other side. This is Soro did this all while drunk.
Yes,
she should not have those credit cards like hot and ready to go when she's that drunk.
I think she does say something about Toriko agreeing to split the cost, but
I don't think she charges Toriko for that.
I guess, yeah, you might know the actual outcome of that.
I don't know, but like
right, so they like move it into the other side and park it, and then come back, and there's Migiwa's vehicle is there.
Oh, right, okay.
And they walk in, and they find out who he is, and they're like, "Can we go to the lab? Can we go to the lab? Can we go to the lab?"
Yeah.
And Soro is actually disappointed that Kozakura hasn't said, "Don't do this," and Kozakura is like, yeah, I knew it wouldn't work.
We do get the bit when they get there, though, where Kozakura and Migiwa are like, hey, here's what might happen to you.
Yes, yeah.
That's when she really, like, is like, hey, this man's made of paper shredding now. This man's a plant.
Yeah.
We just kind of, we don't have anything to do with these people. There's no cure for what happened to them, so we just kind of keep them here.
There's a great line where Migi was like, oh yeah, we're doing like basically the equivalent of like pain management. No, that's not quite right. We don't even know if some of these people are suffering.
Yes, it's fucked up. It's like they're a very shady organization that appears to be doing their best, because these people aren't just like random people they found. They're like rich people's family who are paying for them to like
diet members,
yeah, and like so they are doing their best to take care of them, but it does appear to mostly be keep the plant guy in a dark room and keep the air conditioner on but not too high so the paper man doesn't get blown around too much.
Yeah,
it's rough. So yes, Dark Science is mostly shut down now.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do active research anymore because of a series of horrible incidents.
Yeah.
Satsuki was the one who came in and was like, I'm doing research. Can I like have an office here and et cetera, et cetera? And all this stuff. Toriko wants to see Satsuki's office.
Yeah. Toriko desperately hopes that she will find something.
That she is actually special. That there will be a clue that only she will understand. Because Akira's like, I've been there. There's nothing.
Well, and Kozakura is basically like, yeah, I also thought that I was special. And that she would have left something for me. Like,
this is the good shit. And she didn't.
Yeah.
You know who's special? Soro was special.
Yeah. Yeah. I would simply not read out anything.
Right? Yes. The bit we see is that she left a journal. It's written in a language no one understands. Sora recognizes it as possibly being other side script. She reads it. We don't really hear what she says. Isn't there just like a big I in ASCII art on the page or something like
that? No, it's a bunch of kanji.
Oh.
It's just a block of kanji.
Isn't one of them shaped like an I, though? I'm pretty sure that happens.
It might be. Yes, it is.
There's like a weird
shape. It is kind of like not ASCII, but kanji of... I read egg, but... Ben is going to find the book so that we can look at it. Ben, would you mind turning yourself down one click? A little, yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting excited because...
Thank you. No, I think you're correct that it is an I. But can you also turn me down one click? I just wasn't like sure what I was supposed to be looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But it's cool.
I did think it was more eye shaped, but it's like a square with an eye inside it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Yeah. Yeah, the bit where Soda was like, it says, and then just like there's a brick of like ominous, like nonsense characters is really fun.
Well, they're not nonsense characters.
They don't make sense together.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
It's like, if you do a keyboard smash, that's nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that kanji are real language, I promise.
No, I just mean like, as opposed to...
I did wonder, I had to look
in the other side, or what was actually written in the journal is like truly indecipherable.
Yeah.
It's not, oh, it's a bunch of like katakana and hiragana mm-hmm. and kanji. It's, oh, that's just like,
they're like ghost
symbols
characters
that we don't recognize.
You know kanji ghost characters?
What?
This thing where like ASCII has a whole bunch of fake kanji in it.
Oh.
Did you not know about this?
No.
It's really cool.
Or
because
I did and then forgot. But
yes, it's because of transcription errors. From like turning handwritten kanji into ASCII, there's a bunch of characters that don't actually exist that are based on like smudged characters.
Huh.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That just kind of are still baked into the ASCII standard.
That's interesting.
Really cool. I kind of wondered if they were those for a bit, but I don't think that they are.
ASCII UTF-8?
UT-8, probably. I don't know. Anyway, what happens when she reads this journal? This is the cool shit.
Satsuki shows up. Only Sora, not even using her right eye or left eye.
Yeah. Or it's not her even, right eye that's fucked up.
Not even using her eye can see Satsuki.
What does Satsuki do when she appears? She's like really tall. She's like, I feel like she was always tall, but it feels like she's gotten taller.
Drops a little cube.
She throws a grenade into the room,
yes,
basically.
Yeah, so it's a supernatural grenade.
A supernatural grenade that specifically and only harms women.
Women and children.
Women and children.
Yes, it is based on a story about something designed to like wipe out a bloodline.
Yes.
Which is really funny.
It's horrible, and it's also it's a good bit of like, oh yes, Satsuki targets vulnerable women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What does this box do?
Little birds come out and like take out your insides.
Yeah, they like fly through you and take little bits of meat out.
Yeah. Toriko and Toro together like unravel it.
There's like this is the part that I really like of this, because it's like it's the climax of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the climax of the first omnibus. And it's this weird, like, slow, the two of them kind of dying together while they try and unwork this box.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't do anything to the birds. They can't really interact with them. It's just this like, they're slowly taking apart the box until they realize that the box has become the world and they are in it.
Okay, the thing is, they take it apart and then there's like a little wooden box.
Mm-hmm.
And Toriko's like, takes a second and then is like, oh, it's a wooden box. I can just open it with my own hands.
Uh-huh.
Toriko passed out at this point. Sorry, Sora is the one who takes it, opens it. It just falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes the world.
Yes,
that they're in the maze of
this is the part of the world that they speak as being below the normal other side, mm-hmm. right? Because the sky is like this like supernatural blue, and mm-hmm. the beach was also one of these places, right? This is where they first encounter
Satsuki. Oh, is the beach?
Yes. They say
okay.
At the end she realizes that the sky wasn't dark, it was like an impossible shade of blue the whole time, and they were just like okay. playing at a deep level of the other side.
Okay, interesting.
And that's why they find Satsuki. That's where they find her the first time. Mm-hmm. She kind of follows them up, but she says something about taking Sotaro, right?
Yeah,
ominous.
Or wait, no, she doesn't say anything.
Sora
starts dissolving into the sky.
Toriko does.
Sorry, Toriko starts dissolving into the sky. But I don't think Satsuki says anything. Oh, wait, no, oh. Right. She does whisper one thing.
That was when I heard a low female voice whisper in my ear, let's blank blank you too.
Yes.
And then it ends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But yes, it seems like they're trying to kidnap Toriko.
I guess kidnapping is possible. I always read it as like transform into a thing that they could understand.
Yes, that's how they frame it, right? It's like kidnapping is one way to say it. Because
kidnapping, usually you keep the person alive. This is like unraveling
this is
into a...
processing into a new shape.
Yes.
Yeah. Is a better way to describe it.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's gross. It's a really good... How does the anime end? The anime ends with like them saving the U.S. soldiers, right?
Yes.
Which is this like turns it into this gross rah-rah, like we saved the Americans thing. Here, the Americans is like an interstitial bit, and then they go on to this, which is Satsuki.
I do, okay, to play devil's advocate.
Ooh.
I do understand why I think that the anime is bad. Like there's no question about that.
You're not going to play that much. You're not going to be that much of a devil.
No. The anime isn't good. There's a weird like filler episode with like blob, like the guys from the aliens from Bloodborne show up.
Oh right, right. That like it's not actually a
And then it pulls in some volume 3 chapters before
Akari's friend, who I really don't know why she's there.
But I think the reason they end on rescuing the U.S. soldiers is because that is at least something conclusive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh yes, we're done. We're not getting another season.
Yeah.
This is entirely set up for more.
But I just think it's a more interesting ending to me.
I don't think it's an ending at all. Is my thing is like
okay? Is okay?
Miyazawa?
Migiwa.
No.
Who? The author.
Miyazawa would not have written it like this if his publisher had said, you're not getting another book.
Okay. Here's the thing. It's more of a... Other Side Picnic is not as good as this, but it's more of a Madoka Rebellion type ending. It's like ending on a stopped breath that has a lot of possibility.
I don't agree. I think Madoka Rebellion ends in a far more interesting place.
Yes. Oh, I totally agree.
Rather, and works as an ending. This is like, in the final seconds, is like, hey, there are a bunch more questions.
Come back
next time.
But like, so is Rebellion. Rebellion is also that. Rebellion's not really an ending. It's like... A pause before something happens.
Yeah,
which is why it's good.
As much as I may have come across as negative on Rebellion's ending, or Rebellion being an ending, on that episode, I don't remember what I said.
I remember what you
that
said.
Was long enough ago, but
I just remember us both really liking it.
That yes, as you said, feels like an inhale, but. Has given you enough with those characters to be like, oh yeah, I could see several ways that this could play out. I don't need you, the author, to tell me. There's enough here for me to work with.
Mm-hmm.
This is the author saying, winking at you, the reader, and saying, hey, come back next time. I'll have more for you.
I think it acts as an ending to a phase of the story of Satsuki, where like we've had a hint of like, oh, was there something on... We've seen her twice, right? We saw her, the windmill, right?
Yeah.
And we saw her on the beach, but that was just a glimpse.
Yeah.
What we're seeing here is she exists. She is a monster. She is trying to hurt people and take Toriko away. It closes the book of Satsuki Uruma as a person who can be saved. I think that's the end.
I feel like that book was already closed.
I think so. I think it's being definitive here, right? It's like she is actively attacking them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I do think you're right. It's not conclusive. But I think it's like a lot more... It's more bombastic in an emotional sense than the, like, rah-rah, we saved the American soldiers bit. Which I totally get why an anime would do it.
I think... I think you'd have to rewrite this significantly to make it at all, like... a conclusion. Because again, for me, it and I like this more than most things that do this, it does feel like a, like, and here are a bunch of hooks for the next book.
Okay, but counterpoint, anime that gets made based on a partial adaptation end that way because the story continues in the...
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
just how they end.
Yes.
The way
I'm just saying that the team probably wanted the director or whoever made this decision mm-hmm. was probably like, no, like, let's end on a conclusion.
That's bad. This is such a more interesting ending to me.
Again, I don't...
If your goal is to get people to read the thing,
yeah.
this is a great ending.
Yes.
That's like saying that, like, oh, it ends unconclusively about a partial adaptation of an ongoing series. Of course, that's a better ending.
I'm just saying that there are reasons why you'd want to end it on. Again, the way that they, like, that they, yeah.
Like, it's a closing of the Satsuki, of the Save Satsuki Uruma thing.
Yes.
And it's a sort of reaffirming that she wants to do this, right? Because she sees a bunch of fucked up monster people who are her but for one more step, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, anyway, do you have any, like, cursed objects that Satsuki Uruma kept with her?
Yes, again, this is my life.
And she saves Toriko. And she saves Toriko from the woman who is trying to take her away from her.
I think there are a lot of parts of this that do work as a conclusion. Mm-hmm. But there's just as much of it that is, hey, go buy volume 3 when it's out.
But they want you to buy...
I know, and I'm just saying that, like, the anime team clearly had bigger aspirations than just doing a, like, one-to-one adaptation of the source. Which, to
they
be clear,
a, they
again...
They did a one-to-one adaptation of the source out of order.
Yes, which is still, like, they had some aspiration.
I don't know.
Again, I don't think that it worked out, Ben.
Yes. Yeah, no.
I'm not even saying, oh, yes, it was the correct choice to do it this way.
Yes.
I'm just saying that, like, there was a reason. It wasn't like, oh, they just, like, tossed, dropped the script pages and it ended up this way.
What I'm getting at is, I think it was a really bad choice, and I think this could make a really good ending. A really strong ending that pushes you towards the thing that they're advertising, which is the light novels.
Yeah.
That they just chose not to take to give an easier, more digestible, but grosser feeling ending.
Yeah.
Which about around the thing that I think is the weakest of the first two volumes, which is let's save a bunch of Americans.
Yes. Yep.
Fuck the Americans. Let them die out there.
Let them die. Speaking of letting them die.
Are we finishing? You don't have anything else to say?
I should ask. Do you have anything else to say? I don't know. We'll eventually do volume
character?
2 when I'm not, like, pressed for... I have some other stuff I need to read before we get to volume 2. I might make you read Quality of the Purple soon.
Who's your favorite character of the other side cast?
Kazakura, probably.
Ooh. Who's your favorite pair of characters?
Okay, right now, Ben, the possible pairings. I have Toriko and Soro.
Uh-huh.
So them.
I don't mean in a romantic sense. I mean, like, as foils or connected characters. And mine's Soro Satsuki.
Okay, that's... Okay.
They're rivals. Yes. Rivals in love, Ben.
What? I love you.
What? That isn't even, like, based on future stuff. That's just...
The way that you said it feels like it's based on future stuff.
Ben, that's just what's happening.
I know. That's the end
of the thing, is that she stops Toriko being taken away from this other woman. Taken away by this other woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's gonna blank blank her too. She says that.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you think Umamusume is better than Other Side Picnic? I won't yell at you.
No. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay.
You have more of an emotional connection to Umamusume.
There are parts of season two that are better than the part of the first two volumes of Other Side Picnic. This is largely because I am ambivalent. Is that the right word? To horror? So I'm like, oh yeah, this is like...
I like a good horror.
I think that there are some good descriptions, but on the whole, I'm like, this could be anything else themed, and it would land just as well.
I like a good horror textured thing. I don't know that Other Side Picnic is like really good horror. You know what I mean? It's like, it's horror in the like, it's action horror, right?
Yeah.
It's like these characters aren't actually at any risk. Really, right? Yeah. Or at least the main characters aren't, because like it's a Yuri story about the two of them, right?
Yeah.
So like they can't really take any permanent damage, and a lot of the horror stories are based on forum posts, which the credits is really funny, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really, like, down to the like post credits stuff, which is really funny.
Well, yeah, because like you could just go look all that up.
Yeah, I know. But like, I don't think it's like scary or anything like that. It's like horror flavored.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess what I want to get at is, what did you think of the thing as a piece? We got really bogged down in the details.
I had fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's good.
I just want to get your vibe then. What did you like? What do you not like broadly?
Okay.
You don't really like... horror doesn't automatically do it for you.
Yeah.
It doesn't really automatically do it for me, but it's like a positive, right?
Okay. The main thing for me is just... I don't like my own inability to read things.
This is like... I was going to compare this to We Know the Devil. Because of the other forum thing. Right? No. In that, you feel like
this
it was overhyped.
The devil. Like, hands
you feel
down.
Like it was overhyped
and
don't quite
above.
Like vibe with it the way that other people seem to be, and you feel self-conscious about that. Is that can I compare the two in that way?
I think I vibed with this more. Again, like as soon as I sat down and like on its own, I did enjoy it. And okay. I am excited for more. And I do think that, like, Miyazawa is a good author.
Okay.
And there's enough here that is like, yes, I'm excited to do more. And I just need to, like, slot it as one of the big things that I'm working on over time. Instead of trying to cram it in on top of things.
Yes. This is Fen's great adventure. Is time management.
Yeah.
I think the first omnibus especially, I feel like has a lot more mid-chapter, or maybe not a lot more, but like as many mid-chapters as it has good chapters. You know what I mean? So I'm honestly surprised that you were as high on it as you were, because like I think there's a couple good chapters in here, like Kozakura and the Plants.
Yeah, that's great.
Great chapter. The Kotoribako, I think that's a great chapter.
Okay, here's the thing. I'd made it halfway through Station February, so I like picked up there. The end of Volume 1 / halfway through the Omnibus 1, good chapter.
Is that the Time
Space
the Middleman?
Village Man.
Yes.
Because that's like weird, like creepy.
Yeah.
Kozakura
is so funny in that chapter. The bit where she's like, you know, some people have like longer distance between their neural receptors that feel fear. She's like, what does that mean? She's like, I'm fucking terrified. I'm going to piss myself.
The rescuing the US forces is whatever.
It's fine.
The like beach is the beach is fine.
Like the famous bit of the other side of the US forces, the Israeli like provided equipment thing is undercut here because again, Sora was like, that's fucked up. She like goes out of her way to say that. So it's not as bad as it could be. It still feels weird. The beach is fine. I like how crazy it gets at the end, but like most of it's just them fucking around.
Yeah.
The New York style pension is the funniest thing in the world. Yeah. Though.
It is also, I like, you know, I don't know, like a couple of sections before the book addresses it, I like turned to Ben and I was like, how were they going to get on a plane with rifles?
What'd they do? Did they ship them back or something like
yes, that? Yes, in pieces. And I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, like in a country that doesn't allow guns, uh-huh, doesn't mean that they just don't like scan for them at airports.
Really funny. They're so brazen about these guns sometimes, you know.
Yes.
I feel like you gotta be when sometimes you just kind of slip into a hell, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like
The Ninja Cats is one of those chapters that I'm like, this is fine. You're setting up a character or I don't have an opinion on it because I'm like, yeah, you're setting up a future character.
The mystery itself is like fine. You know, the Ninja Cats are they cross the line into being a little too goofy for me.
Yeah.
You know?
That they are
actually like little ninjas.
Incredible ninjas is so dumb.
Yes. The bit where it's like cats are following me in groups and
yeah,
I feel like they're
good.
Talking and they're pounding on the windows sometimes when I sleep, that stuff's creepy, that stuff's fun. But when they don little ninja outfits and have kunai and shit, it's like it's too far
and can evade gunshots because they're so cool.
Who shoots at them? There's a great bit where Soro's like,
oh, Soro and
Soro's like, Torka. I don't want to hurt cats.
Yeah,
they're cats.
And then looks at them through her eye and is like, they're really just cats.
I can't shoot that.
Uh-huh. That's good. And then the
Akari turning into a karate monster and beating the shit out of them is very dumb.
Yeah.
The bit where it's like, oh, Soro's eye can turn people supernatural and like unstable. Cool.
Yes.
Well, how they show it the first time, kind of goofy.
I was gonna say, the way that. The way that, like, yeah, the other side messes with your ability to process language.
Mm.
And something about Soro's eye, like, yeah, creates a localized other side, it feels like.
Inside your head.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Which is, like, it is interesting how much our brains are shaped by language.
Mm.
And so it's like, oh, yeah, of course, if you lost language, you would just, like, lose your mind.
Uh-huh.
'Cause
uh-huh.
A lot of our thinking is based on, influenced by language.
Yeah. It's cool.
It's like the thing of, in many languages, like if you, a head, people associate in front of them with the future,
mm-hmm,
and behind them with the past,
because
that's just how language works. And if you have a language that is the opposite, like Japanese, I believe,
uh-huh,
people have the opposite association.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, yeah, that's interesting and fun.
That stuff's cool. Yeah, the early stuff is fine, the kune stuff,
kune.
What do you think of Dark Science?
Goofy.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's so okay. The actual goofiest part is like, oh yeah, we run like a really successful insurance, like workers' comp insurance company, that pays for all of this.
It doesn't pay for all of it. They have benefactors.
Sure.
But they also have a successful shell company that
yes,
they maintain, which is really funny.
Yeah.
You gotta have one of these though, right? You gotta have the like, the sketchy, Soto's backstory. So she tells Kozakura. We forgot to talk about that. Okay. When they're on the adventure together, when Kozakura gets pulled into the other side against her will, Soto and her have a conversation where she's like, oh, you know, she like talks about her past and she's like, well, you know, I used to hang out in ruins a lot because, well, you know, it's story as old as time. My family was involved in a cult.
Oh, right.
My family, my mom died. My grandma and father got involved in a cult. They were trying to kidnap me. I was running away and sleeping in ruins. And then one day, I was sleeping and then a red person appeared and gave me a hug. And I thought it was my mom. And so they were like, do you want me to get rid of those people? And I was like, yeah. And then I went back to my house with a bottle of kerosene and was going to set it on fire with them in it. But then I got news that they had all died somewhere else. And then it was okay because the whole cult was dead. You know, just like normal stuff. And Kozakura looks at her and is like, what the fuck was that? So you read that and you were like, oh, yeah, normal stuff.
Okay, I may be misremembering the specific number. There was like a period of Japanese history where like a third of people were in a cult.
Yeah.
So like, there's a reason that cults show up so much in otaku media. Is because there was a period where it's like, oh yes, you were or you knew someone who was in a cult.
Yes, but like, Soto's family cult sounds a little... They were like showing up at her school and trying to like drug her and kidnap her and stuff. And this is all said here. And she did almost self-immolate with her family in the house.
Yeah.
So when I say Soto is a freak, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
Like you haven't thought of.
You're so cool, Fen. I love being alive. I wouldn't self-immolate to kill my family.
I am joking. To be clear, dear listener, I must have read that when I was like falling asleep. I didn't really remember the details.
It's such a great bit because it's so weird and freaky, and she no sells it so hard.
Yes,
because she's like, so there's a bit where she's like, a scary supernatural thing killed the cult that my family's associated with, like normal, and she doesn't seem to at all process that it's weird.
Yeah, yeah,
it's like. Up to that point, we get like little hints that her life is unstable, right? Mm-hmm. Like the whole like sleeping in ruins thing. But she doesn't. There's like this humility thing where she's like, "Yeah, but everyone's got it hard, you know. It's not special." And then you get what it actually is, and it's insane.
Yeah.
And she still acts like it's normal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really good.
That's cool. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. It's wild that Kozakura just kind of like lets it drop, but I guess she just doesn't want to get involved in that. But it's a fun bit to be like, oh yeah, Soto, before she found that door to the other side, clearly she was already in touch with it in some way.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think of the red person?
Again, I must have been falling asleep when I read that portion, because I
That's
don't
all
remember.
We get, is oh, that there yeah. was a red person.
Cool. Great.
Yeah, it's cool.
Normal.
I think they cut that bit out of the anime, too. Because that episode happens, but I don't remember that backstory.
I remember, like, pieces of the anime. I remember a Volume 3 story in the anime better than I remember that story happening.
So funny, because I do think that's one of the better episodes, because they do the Annihilation plant thing.
Yeah.
Annihilation,
now there's a movie.
The plant stuff in Annihilation is some possibly the best stuff.
That is... Okay, Annihilation is an interesting, like, comparison point for... taking a thing and fundamentally transforming it in adaptation.
Yeah. I never read the book.
But Annihilation, like, works in a way that I don't think that the other side anime does.
Most adaptational anime doesn't, yeah. But the other side... I mean,
there are, like, good adaptations of anime that are just, like, pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
They're maybe boring, but at least they, like, work.
I think Dungeon Meshi is a bad adaptation.
Go back us on Patreon if you want to hear more of our thoughts on Dungeon Meshi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some really savage burning of...
Something.
Something. Multiple things even, maybe.
Takes so spicy we had to put them on Patreon so we don't get yelled at.
We have lots of spite to go around.
I'm glad you had a pretty good time.
Yeah.
Let's
again,
move on.
Again, I will like I will willingly read the second omnibus.
I think once your expectations have been adjusted and you have a little more time to read and not feel pressured about it,
yeah.
I think that we will have a good time talking about Omnibus 2.
I have some nonfiction I also want to make my way through.
Yeah.
So I'm like, there's a
we
lot of
have to do it right away.
There's a lot of, if I'm reading something that is not CCC or Sweeney Estella right now, there's a part of me that is going like, I need to finish these two things so that I can read some nonfiction, so that I can like,
I would like
all this other stuff. And
I would like to do the second omnibus, like, not now, but like sooner than later, because I've read it twice and I don't want to read it a third time. But the other two omnibuses, I've only read them once. I'll be happy to reread them from pod whenever you want to cover them. Or I will have only read them once.
Sorry. You read the second omnibus twice?
I did read the second omnibus twice.
Mm-hmm. Why are you talking about the first one like we aren't doing it now?
I didn't reread it, and I'm not gonna, I don't want to reread the second one.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Alright, I know.
Okay. I read.
No, I understand. I just, the way that you phrased that was really funny, because there are only three right now.
Oh, there's another one coming soon. Yes. Sorry. I'm going to read it once. I'm not gonna read it twice.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. I'm so sorry.
I do hate to say, Ben, but
like, that was 2 hours.
Oh yeah, we are at 2 hours almost exactly. No, what I was going to say was, I hate to say it, but we can do it soon. We can do it this year, but not like
I was thinking, like 2 months, sometime in the next 2 months.
So soon.
Oh my god.
I'll try.
Well, okay. The other thing is, you could just pick at it really slowly, and then we do it when we do it.
Yeah. As you said, you're not going to read it to me. I was like, that's a way to get me to...
Ben, I will read it to you if you want. I will read it a third time.
That would be reading it a third time, yes.
I will read it a third time to you as a bedtime story, if that's what it takes to get you to read it.
No, because you just said you don't want to read it a third time.
If it's to you, that's different.
Okay.
I meant I didn't want to sit down and read it a third time.
Speaking of things that we don't want to reread, I actually had fun with All Around Type Moon. Thank you.
all around type moon. This is what we're actually here for. It's going to be like a half an hour segment.
That's generous. How are we going to get a half an hour out of this?
It's good.
It's good. Yeah, this was fun. Okay. Here's all around type moon.
Yeah.
Starts as a manga adaptation of a drama CD.
Yeah.
Which is why the first chapter has such a different vibe than the rest of the manga.
Uh-huh.
For better and worse, I would say.
Hmm.
The first chapter is the most plus disc chapter, I think.
Right. Because there's like these two post chapters that are first but are that came later.
Yes. Yeah.
I read them first. Maybe I shouldn't have. What is All Around Type Moon?
All Around Type Moon.
It's a fan disc.
So it starts as a manga adaptation of a drama CD. And which is Shiki, Arkweed, and Saber hanging out at Anurb.
Ryogi Shiki. Anurbi? I think it's Anurbi.
Anurbi? Okay.
We were both pronouncing it wrong, but I think that I remember. I'm closer, but I'm not positive. Someone can yell
anyway,
at
me. Anyway, the interdimensional cafe. Please don't yell at me.
Don't yell at Fen. No, if this Fen's podcast, done nothing wrong.
If this podcast has done nothing, it should have proved to you, dear listener, how pathetic I am.
Yeah.
Which Fen also does their best to like make sure that everyone knows.
Anurbi is the cafe from Plus Disc where Shiki feeds Tono Shiki feeds a lot of delicious food to Akira. But it also is where the getcha, the moon tea, takes place.
Yep.
It's like the out of canon place that characters can cross over.
Yes.
Basically.
There are some really funny crossovers.
Uh-huh.
But yes. So the first chapter is
Is Kotamina the goat of this?
What?
Is Kotamina the goat of this once again?
Yes. He gets
a couple bits and it's really
funny jokes. Or funniest joke in the whole, entire thing is Kotamina's.
Uh-huh.
But so the first chapter is mostly like Neko Arc interviewing the three heroines about like preferences, what they do on the weekends, like Plus Disc stuff, you know.
The main heroines,
band discs,
you know.
And then the rest of the manga kind of takes the premise of, right, there's this cafe where all of these characters from various worlds are hanging out and does some funny setups and gags with them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go through them like chapter by chapter. No. I do want to shout out, before anything else, Kotamine putting Tabasco sauce in his coffee.
But it's not strong enough.
And then
to
taking
water
a
down.
Sip and going, kind of mild.
So what's he do, Fen?
He says, it's fine, I'm here for lunch, and then starts drinking the Tabasco sauce.
Yeah, I like Ayuri, like, sweating in the background watching this happen.
Yes.
That's a really funny bit. Yeah, there's like an extended Prisma Ilia bit that's not very funny. Or like it's fine.
Okay.
Whatever. It's funnier than a lot of stuff in Prisma Ilia, I feel like.
Yes.
They have the classic misconception where they act. There's a chapter at the end about regular Ilia, and they do also act as if she is actually 12, which is not fucking true.
Yeah.
I will die on this hill forever.
This is the thing about Ilia that is good.
Is that
she's a burnt out 19-year-old.
This is a hill I will always die on.
Yeah.
However, the bit where her and Miyako grow up is not very funny. However, the bit where grown-up Miyako shoulder checks Tono Shiki to death because she's huge and super strong and sends him flying is really funny.
Yeah.
The like paneling of that is so funny.
Yeah.
He's just like kind of smiling, blood coming out of his mouth. He can't see his eyes because of his glasses. He's blurry because he's flying through the air at top speed.
Yeah, like
that bit's really fun.
There are a bunch of really good bits.
Yeah.
Is the thing. There's not
We do a body swap chapter and Gil gets freaked out because Saber is a common street punk now because she's Shiki saying ore.
there's not what I would have hoped for this.
Yeah.
Was a plus disc style reflection on all of these works, but it's not written by Nasu.
No.
Nasu.
Yeah, it could have used a little bit more of that energy, but
which is why, like,
it's totally fine.
Which is why I say the first chapter feels so different, because I assume that drama CD was written by Nasu. Maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like kind of reflective on who these characters are.
It's
and then the rest is like, oh yeah, this is just a setup for Goofs.
But there's some good goofs, you know. There's like the villains table hanging out, and Chaos is like, oh, you get to like Kotamina, you get to like actually be there for a bunch of stuff. And like Adia from K&K is like, hey, whoa, man, he didn't even get to be in the fan disc.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, I'm so sorry, man.
Right, yes, because Chaos did get to be in the fan disc. The three of them are then like transmogrified into this like kind of like American CIA looking guy, who is the boss of the cafe. What else happens? There's a good bit of Magical Girl Amber actually being an alternate
an alien. I do like their transcendental like Yuri moment.
Yes.
Like, oh wow, it's she's not me, but she's me for real. And Akiha's just like sweating in the background. Like, I don't think I can handle two of them.
I also, and then they get body swapped, and Akiha has to handle two of them. Like, that is the end of the chapter. We don't actually see, but that is the implication. Is like, oh no, I have to deal with both of these people until they get like swapped back.
What about Kohaku's love potion that does not work if you are siblings but not related? Or between maid and master?
The best,
kind of like spiking that, being like, why is it so specific?
The best, there's again some good paneling in that chapter, as like Hisui picks it up before Kohaku says the thing about maid and master, and Akiha is just like glancing over at Hisui, like staring straight ahead. And the best bit of that chapter is that they're all like, there are two new characters introduced for just that chapter.
There are two bits, because there's love potion, right, but they are also for the saber altar
eating
Michelin star contest.
Yeah. There are two new girls introduced, and Kohaku's like, oh, you're in love to one of them. And so everyone is like, oh yes, here's how you get a man. And then the other girl comes back and they're all like, oh no, we're too straight for this. We don't know how to help.
There's an all-timer like Sakura bit in that one, where she's like, no, what you gotta do is you gotta be on the attack. You gotta, you know, subtly cook meals for him and take care of his house and like try and move in with him and all this stuff. And once upon a time I believed that would work, and everyone's like, wait, so it didn't work?
She's like, no, it's still early.
It's still early in the race. It's like, it seems like a really long race.
That bit's good.
Do a reenactment of the fairy chapter of K&K for some reason, except Shinji is the fairy master.
I think that one feels like it's purely just, I want to draw a bunch of like sleepy characters.
Yeah.
And
also I guess the Emoto's kicking ass.
Yes.
There is a really good bit of like what's Mikiya's sister? Azaka?
Akiha and Sakura hanging out.
Oh, okay, but like the two of them are like kicking ass when the fairies show up, and Sakura's just like got a little tennis racket and is swinging impotently at them.
I thought you were going to talk about the time where all three of them are sitting at a table, and Akiha and Azaka. Are like, well, my brother's so cool, and Sakura's just over there like, please, can we stop talking about brothers?
Can we talk about something else? Yeah.
I had a good time reading it.
I think it was pretty fun. There's some Fate Zero jokes in it that are like, fine, you know? I think it's funny that they force Ryogi Shiki to wear a maid costume, but she almost kills the stupid Prisma Ilia stick when it tries to transform her.
Yeah.
I like that when the stick does come up, Rin has like a big hand on a stick to grab it with, so she doesn't have to touch it herself.
I hadn't considered that was what she was doing.
Yes.
But yeah. Yeah.
That part's funny. The idea of Prisma Ilya meeting regular Ilya and, like, with dawning horror realizing that she's, like, 7 years older than her and is an adult would be really funny. That's just a one-off panel joke.
Yeah.
Anything else funny? It was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty good. I think that we are going to get... I believe that this is the basis for Carnival Phantasm.
Mm-hmm. You know, this makes me more optimistic for what Carnival Phantasm's tone will be. There's a lot of Neko Arc jokes, but they're like, they're fine, you know? They weren't, like, super grating or anything.
Yeah, yeah. Fine is exactly how I would describe them.
Yeah.
Which is, like, yeah, I think the jokes in this mostly range from, like, fine to, like, had me laughing out loud.
Yeah. That's good. It's way more than I was expecting.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Waver and Rider.
Take Moon is the Carnival Phantasm basis.
Rider and Waver working at the cafe together.
Uh-huh.
It was funny, the bit where Waver's like, I don't want to do this, and he ends up doing all the work. And then is it Baby Akiha?
Yes.
Yes, Baby Akiha's terrified of Ishkandar because of how big and, like, bold he is.
Uh-huh.
He's like, oh, all the food here is good. And she's like, yeah, it's all great. Because she's, like, a wimp back then. And then Waver gets Ishkandar away from her, and then it's like, don't worry, the big scary uncle's gone. She's like, thank you, miss, and just, like, wrecks him.
And then Shiki calls him Mister, and he's like, yeah, right? I would never be mistaken for a girl, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Goofy, but funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is certainly, I think this is the lightest thing that we've done.
There's just not very much. And like, it's like 11 chapters or something.
Yeah, we couldn't really have combined it with anything else.
Because next up is fucking Extra.
Speaking of, we're part of the Abnormal Mapping Network.
I was going to talk about Extra for a sec. Oh, we forgot to mention that there was an extra.
Yes, there is an extra chapter.
We can't really talk about it, but like, we got a sneak preview of Red Saber from Extra and the protagonist of Extra and some other stuff. I know all of the things that would be counted as spoilers here, but I'm really excited for Extra Saber.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She's great. Her outfit's so crazy.
It's so funny.
Oh, yes. The bit where Karen shows up and is like, you have excellent taste. Or, like, they're saying that back and forth to each other because neither of them are wearing pants is really funny.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Again, like, if you like Type Moon characters, I think that this is an easy sell. Yeah.
It's like, this still got Tsukihime in it. It's got K&K in it.
I'm usually
it's not totally fate-brained yet.
I'm usually the person who is, like, very negative on goofy spinoffs.
This was light enough that it was still good.
Yes, yes. I think the jokes are actually funny.
Yeah.
And it's not... there isn't plot. It is just set up for a bunch of jokes,
mm-hmm.
which I think works better for me than something that is like, oh, don't you want to see all these characters, like, having fun and, like, mm-hmm. enjoying themselves? I'm like, no, I do want a chapter about, like, a saber who wanders into this... A saber altar who wanders in and is just... talking all of the I need to put a marker down talking all of the food.
She's eating this delicious food and she's like, it's terrible,
and
this
then
is awful.
It gets served the worst sandwich in existence,
basically a Hisui red plum wet sandwich.
I think Hisui was better at making sandwiches than that girl, and just like takes one bite and is like, ugh, and falls over. And then turns back into Saber, where Shiro can come rescue her. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. that's funny. It's a good chapter.
Yeah. Stuff's good.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's worth reading, I think. If you like, if you're attached to the characters.
Yeah.
It's like, you can get through it in, like, half an hour or something like that.
Or an hour. It is, like, pretty wordy.
It's fairly wordy, but you'll get through it quick.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Let's talk about Extra real quick.
Yeah. We're doing Extra next.
Fate Extra... is our next, like, big undertaking, I guess you could say. It's not gonna be that big.
Somehow only 3 episodes.
it's going to be hard to get through it in three episodes, but I feel like it marks kind of a sea change for Fate going forward.
We'll have to talk more about that next episode, but here's the thing about Extra
it's another broadening of the world, kind of like Prisma is, right? But it has Nasu attached to it on some level. He's not like a direct writer, but
yeah, there's at least one blog article that he wrote that I want to like read.
Ooh, interesting.
Before talking more about this, because like the development history is actually kind of interesting.
Ooh, yes, please. You've played Extra.
I have played Extra.
What
one route? I played with Caster.
You played with Caster. I'm going to be playing with Saber.
Yes, I'm going to be playing this time with Archer.
Archer. Okay.
We have a friend of the pod, Catherine, is prepping videos for us that include all of the various servant specific dialogue.
So
it's
we'll
like meaningful.
To. Yeah, we'll be able to. We're going to do one playthrough.
Yes.
And cover all the extra stuff. Which,
I still don't know. There's a split at the end of week three that.
Right.
I'm still like, I don't know how I'm going to cover.
Have you done both?
No, I just did one.
You do the other one, and I'll do the one that you did.
We need to do both.
We each
They're like
need to do both.
Significantly
God damn it.
Different.
Right, I forgot about that. We'll figure it out.
Yes. I have ideas of how we're going to split this up. I can say, for instance, that we're going to do Fate the Fact, which is like a short story that came with Extra. NJP or like collector's editions or something.
Interesting.
And we're doing the first 3 weeks of Fate Extra.
Okay.
Which should give us enough to like chew on.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing because Extra is not super, super story dense. It has
stories. Yeah, I would say it is in fact quite light.
But it's an actual RPG.
Yeah.
So there's going to be, it's going to take over our lives for a little while. It feels like.
Yes. Tomorrow I am finishing CCC because I cannot play two of these at the same time.
I'm so jealous of CCC. I want to be playing CCC. But that's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Extra despite the fact that it's going to be kind of a lot to get through to get to the good stuff.
Yeah. Which is like, I don't know.
Shame about that remake.
What?
You think that remake's going to come out soon?
No, I think that's still a ways away. The thing is, I think I wish that there were a way to split it up more reasonably where we wouldn't have 20 minute or half an hour episodes.
Yeah.
I
mean, the other thing we could have done is stretched it out further and done a bigger backup thing.
I think it's good enough that it doesn't need a backup thing.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you. I'm following you on this one. I am willing to put too much time into it. I've kind of dropped Persona 4. Persona 4 sucks. Persona 3 is really good, though.
Yeah. We'll eventually record a pod on Persona 3 so that Ben wants to record a pod on Persona 3 before we do the answer. And so we haven't played the answer yet.
At this point,
I'm excited
the answer.
To. Okay.
It's been so long now.
Well, yeah, but we might at this point we might as well. At this point we might as well record and then do the answer.
Although the thing is that I don't think that Persona 3 can sustain two Patreon episodes. We're going to do it for Patreon. We probably have to do them both. That makes sense.
I think
we could just never
our Patreon episodes are like a looser format. We could just record two shorter episodes. It's not like people are paying per episode, Ben.
I know, but still. Anyway, I'm wrong. You're right. Never been said before in my life. Congratulations.
Wow. Thank you.
Fate Extra. Look forward to it.
Yeah. I'm excited.
You can do the outro now.
We're part of the abnormal map.
We're part of the abnormal mapping network.
Why am I a baby all of a sudden? Okay, Ben, do you want to do the rest of the outro?
No, not at all. Why?
You can find us at Crying Rules on Twitter.
You sound like you're gonna cry.
Fate-moon-archive on co-host. I did put up a post. Thanks to Ben reminding me, but I did put up a post.
This week. Post.
What else do we say? Oh, you can find us on Patreon.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/cryingrules.
Support us on Patreon. You'll get bonus episodes whenever we feel like putting up bonus episodes. That's it.
I can't remember if we said on the podcast. It's mostly a tip jar.
We're not
we spend
trying
a lot
to make
of time
a job
on
of this.
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time on it, but like we have other stuff going on. I'm working on the visual novel. Fenn's got a real job, like a real person. We're not expecting to make a bunch of money off of our like niche anime podcast or anything like that. But if you do appreciate the work that we do, it does take us a lot of time to do the stuff that we do here. And our episodes are very long. So support us on Patreon if you got a couple bucks kicking around, and listen to our bonus episodes where we'll cover some stuff that's like, we're gonna move the anime talk to there. The seasonal anime talk is gonna be the big feature.
That is the episode that I keep thinking we record 2 weeks ahead of when we release.
Uh-huh.
And so I keep thinking like, oh yes, that is the Patreon episode that is going up with this. And then I was like, no, that is the Patreon episode that went up 2 weeks ago.
Yes. Uh-huh.
With last episode.
But yeah, you can hear us wrap up last season, the winter season, and start the spring season. We're still going to do...
Spring is exciting.
Spring is exciting. We're going to continue to do Yuri Tea Time as normal. Guests will still bring stuff. Me and Fenn will still cover something. We're still doing the All Together Jam game.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Fenn, for not taking it seriously. I'm repenting.
I'm so sorry for being so grumpy. I feel a little better now.
Good. That's the result of my repenting. But we might cover some stuff that's a bit long and a bit too much to chew on for Yuri Tea Time over on Patreon.
We'll probably do a Cry, Mashna, and Star.
Cry Star, yeah. Like, if we did another Caligula Effect episode, if they do Caligula Effect 3, that one will probably be on Patreon now.
Yes.
Sorry. But we can't, like, schedule it out.
There's, like, yeah, you know, like, if money's tight, you could just subscribe for a month and then...
Listen to them all.
And then hopefully stick around, because you're like, oh, yeah, Fenn and Ben are so cool, but...
We are very
cool. Also, like... If money's tight, I don't know. It's just a tip jar. It's not like, again, as Ben said, we're not making a...
It's not... We release plenty of content for you. You really don't need to listen to more of us. But you should.
Yeah.
Might as well.
What? Right, doing extra next time.
We're doing extra next time. I'm going to be on Novel Not New.
Yes. Go subscribe to
Scanline. That comes out this month, right? So I'm going to be on the April episode of Novel Not New. We're covering Sweeno Stella, Stella of the End, which is a sci-fi, it's like a Death Stranding / Last of Us type game, but if those were better.
I'm glad, it's been hard to get a read on how you're feeling about it.
Mm-hmm. I have not gotten to the point where it really takes off yet, so I'm not sure how my final read is going to be, but like... It's kind of a game about post-apocalyptic dads in the way that Last of Us is, but Last of Us is bad at this, I think.
Yeah.
And it's kind of got the exact same pitch as Death Stranding, minus the weird ghosts. But it's not like Kojima-pilled in the Kojima way, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it's an interesting little thing. And I'll be excited to talk about it. It's very short. You should play it and listen to that episode. Support them on Patreon, too.
Yes. I am like 3 chapters away from the end, and it's gonna take me forever.
Fenn's reading in Japanese. It's only like a 9-hour game.
Yes, sorry.
Fenn, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me fennec.moe. Type that into an address bar. That'll get you somewhere.
Is it anywhere new, or is it the places I've seen?
Let me go check. Well, you say, Ben, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Ben Enns. You can buy the visual novel that is in, I guess it's kind of like early access, Reckless Sympathy on, what is it, benenns.itch.io?
I believe so, yeah.
Let me check that real quick. You can support me on Patreon directly for supporting my visual novel development over on Patreon / Doomgender. Is it Doomgender?
Yes. Yeah.
BenN.itch.io. There's lots of ways to give me money now. I'm really deep in the Reckless Sympathy mines, drawing sprites. Follow me on Twitter, at DoomGender, and see some great like pictures of women that I'm whipping up.
Hell yeah.
I'm also on co-host at BenN's. I also post all that stuff there, too. So, you have options. You can find the show at on Twitter, at Crying Rules?
Yes. Yep.
Did you already say this?
No.
Fate-moon-archive on co-host?
Yes. Fate-moon-archive.
Yeah. What are we covering next time? Fate Extra?
Yeah. Fate Extra, Fate the Fact.
Where we're getting to in Fate Extra, if people are... Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Did I not say this? We're doing the first 3 weeks.
First 3 weeks. You said that. Yes.
Which is like... Yeah, it is a weak structure.
What are we doing for
Yuri Tea Time?
Yuri Tea Time.
Stalker?
We're going to do Stalker, the movie? Stalker?
We might as well follow up. It's Stalker or Annihilation. One of the two.
Uh-huh. Ooh, interesting choices. I've never seen Stalker before. I've seen Annihilation.
So, yeah, same.
So let's do Stalker.
Yeah, yeah.
I do want to watch Annihilation, though.
Watching Annihilation in a theater was an incredible experience. Skip forward 30 seconds if you don't want to know anything about Annihilation. But the last, 20 minutes of that film just being overwhelming audio visual experience.
I imagine that hits a lot better when you're in a theater. You know what I mean? It was still cool, but it was a little I'm, not so in that I'm not, seeing the effects. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll cover that at some point. What is our all-together jam game?
Oh, gosh. What is our all-together jam game? Let me find out. I do not remember. We are doing Shooting Star Hill.
Shooting Star Hill. That sounds like a Mario location.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is...
You know what's a good Shooting Star Hill? That level in Blue Reflection 2.
Oh, Ben. Blue Reflection. Now there's a...
Please, make a third one. Please.
There's zero chance.
I know there's zero chance now, but still.
I would be happy to see, whatever they made.
Yeah, of course. But, I'm not really interested in the alchemy game, so...
Yes. I meant that writer, who I don't think is...
Yeah.
Guess what this one's about?
Is it a sickly girl in a hospital?
She doesn't seem like she's sickly, but she might turn out to be.
Yeah, well... So it goes.
Yeah. Hopefully it's better than the pitch seems. Although I think we're...
How long is it? You can tell me that much.
Oh, let me look up how long this is. It is 50 minutes. Although only one person said that.
That's pretty long.
I hope that it's better than I'm...
You do seem pretty down on it.
Listen.
Yeah, I'm listening.
I didn't have anything more to say.
This is a weird episode to be our 3-year anniversary.
Happy 3 years. You should send us an email at cryingrulesactually@gmail.com to just say hey, Ben and Fen, nice job.
Hey, Ben and Fen, are you doing okay? Do you need help?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And yes.
No, we're doing great.
We're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
We're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
We have fun out here.
Yeah, me and Fen just get feisty sometimes.
Yeah.
We're going to go have dinner and watch Railgun.
Hell yeah,
you know
we are.
Good?
Railgun.
Not Index, but Railgun's really
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
This is like a postpartum pod at this point.
Ben, I think we're also going to have to watch the first episode of Blue Archive.
Oh, yeah, but that's fine. You know, that's not going to be Index. I was so let down by that girl with the fucking insane crucifix, tongue piercing on a chain thing.
Yeah. Real bummer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The new characters from Railgun seem incredible.
I need to write House and Index. Oh, yeah.
Me and Marin have to record Marin's movie minute.
In my journal. Because,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll report back with more Railgun stuff soon. You got any more stuff to say, Fan?
Next time, let's meet in the digital sea.
Oh, wow. You changed the sign off. I can't believe it's the digital sea, Fen.
Sort of. This is a one-time only sign off.
Yes.
Because then next time it will be next time. Or one day let's meet in the digital sea. But like it is literally next time is...
I'm making new box art for next episode. This episode.
Oh, for this episode?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to stop.
Right. It's for the extra episode.
Okay, yeah. So next episode. Yeah.
Sorry. That's what I meant.
Pod.
Latin.
Okay.
This is my go-to now. Misery.
Yeah. Can you turn me down one click? Testing.
My go-to when I'm doing Misery Court or Pantomime with Heather is just to say Latin a lot whenever it's Latin, except for when it says come, then I have to say come out loud.
Mm, can you turn yourself up one tick? Which one is it? It's number two. It has a little two on the... Testing.
That was one click. How do I look now?
You look beautiful.
Oh, I know I don't. I'm a mess today, but I really appreciate
how Okay, right. There's an order of operations to moving my monitor out of the way. I will eventually get down. I just want to be able to look at Ben, the one, the only.
I'm Ben.
You're Ben.
Two Bens.
Meow. Okay. I think we're good. Let me see. We're recording. I don't need to have like notes or anything up, right?
We just recorded recently, didn't we? Just like this week.
We recorded last weekend.
For the okay.
Yes, we recorded a Patreon episode last weekend.
Mm-hmm. Too many pods this month for me.
What are we talking? What episode is it?
I don't have the intro or anything pulled up, so you're in charge of that. Is it 79 already?
Yeah.
Is this our 3-year anniversary? This episode?
This episode is 3 years. All around type.
I'm 3 years older than I was when I started this podcast, and I've learned nothing.
Oh, whoops. That's not what I meant to do. Well, you know, Ben, 3 years is a time for trying new things.
It's like the 3-episode test, but for years.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Just like that.
We love it.
Do we?
Yeah, are we going to keep doing the podcast, Ben? Now would be the time to decide.
Well, yes, of course.
Okay, then I'm assuming that we love it.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to be honest, Ben. I did not really process the words that you were saying. Because I was typing a thing in a different place.
I see. I said, do you want to stop doing the podcast?
No, I did process that part. Okay. And I was like, what is Ben talking about? Of course not.
I was saying that we are going to continue. This is a 3-year test, like a 3-year episode, 3-episode test of anime.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we should decide now if we want to keep going with the pod to the end.
Oh, yeah. Of course we're going to continue to the
end. Yeah, see? I will say there is no other exit point. Even death won't save you from being shackled to this pod until we finish it.
I know.
Are you sure?
Yep.
All right.
Today we're covering.
That's our wedding vows.
Marry me. Manga all around type man. But first, we have.
Truly, you are the host today. You're the only one with the notes.